This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, Mind's Eye listener. My name is Cassie, and I'll be your reader today for the Eating in St. Louis program, where we'll read a selection of articles from Feast Magazine and Sauce Magazine. So we'll start things off over at Feast Magazine with a news item. Napoli Kirkwood will open this fall on the ground floor of the James. This fall, Kirkwood will welcome another new dining spot when the Napoli Group opens its sixth restaurant, Napoli Kirkwood, on the ground floor of The James, a new luxury apartment complex. Co-owner Kyle Pietoso has been looking to expand the restaurant group into the neighborhood since 2018 and looks forward to the community welcoming the Napoli Group into the new space. The 4,500-square-foot space has seating for 145 inside, as well as a covered patio that can fit nearly 50. Parking spaces will be plentiful to accommodate the volume, and the interior color palette will center around earthy tones of green, tan, gold, and black. This opportunity came along and just made so much sense for us, Pietoso says, who adds that Kirkwood residents have always done an exceptional job of supporting local businesses. The food will focus on favorite Napoli dishes, including prime steaks, fresh seafood, and pasta. In addition, a portion of the menu will incorporate their new pizza concept, Napoli Bros Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield, which opened in late May 2024. For fans of the new Napoli Brothers pizza concept, Pietoso describes the new Kirkwood location as a mix of both. Guests can expect some experimentation with the coal-fired pizza oven in the kitchen, as well as a continual rotation and refinement of the menu as feedback from patrons flows in. Pietoso is looking forward to continuing the restaurant group's mission to incorporate fresh, seasonal, and sometimes hard-to-find items into their menu to keep things interesting. In addition to the new lineup of food, the restaurant will serve a variety of old-school classic craft cocktails, Prosecco, local beers, and lots of wines by the glass and by the bottle. In addition to great food and drinks, Pietoso places high priority on hospitality and seeks to create an atmosphere where guests can dine in a casual environment with family and friends and enjoy a night out together. Everything from the pacing of the service to the overall dining experience is a priority to Pietoso, who notes that the goal is to give diners a memorable experience. Napoli Kirkwood, which is coming soon, will be located at 416 North Kirkwood Road in Kirkwood, Missouri. And for our next article in Feast Magazine, So Ma Oats sells gluten-free granola and more at Tower Grove Farmers Market. If you frequent Tower Grove Farmers Market, you've likely seen the So Ma Oats stall set up near the fountain on Saturday mornings. Owner Adrienne Lord specializes in gluten-free products, as well as her granola, which is also vegan. Lord has always had a passion for baking, and during the pandemic, she found herself at home perfecting her sourdough bread. Soon, she branched out into making her own granola. After tweaking it with a little spice and incorporating maple syrup instead of sugar, she knew she had a hit on her hands. It was so fantastic that even her granola-hating partner tried it, ultimately devouring an entire 32-ounce jar. A full-time teacher by trade, Lord was looking for a place to offload her masterpiece and applied for a spot at Tower Grove Farmers Market. She's currently in her fourth season, and her chai spice granola has garnered a fan base, alongside a variety of seasonal treats that have regulars lining up each week in the hopes of grabbing some before they sell out. The name So Ma Oats, Lord says, came from her personal life. I was a South City mama, also single, newly divorced, so the So Ma Oats was just a little play on words having to do with the granola, me, and the abbreviation of South City, she says. The offerings at So Ma Oats are inspired by the season. I rotate with what's in season and try to use local produce as much as possible, either from colleagues at the market or friends who are growing things like zucchini in their yard, she says. In addition to the chai spice granola, you can find honeysuckle, lavender, and blueberry granola on hand. A few of the many varieties Lord keeps on rotation. Zucchini bread, lemon lavender scones, blueberry muffins, and strawberry bread have also become customer favorites. Lord hopes to expand beyond selling at the market when the timing is right, and would love to eventually see her granola for sale at local shops. She will begin her 20th year of teaching this fall, but her passion for her full-time job equals the one that she has for Soma Oats, so retirement is still years away. I plan to finish up an education, and then I'd really like to work on Soma Oats full-time in my retirement, she says, adding that she would seek out a brick-and-mortar location and see where it goes from there. For now, Lord is enjoying the community aspects of selling at the market on both Saturdays and Tuesdays, and credits her fellow vendors and customers for being a welcoming, supportive second family of sorts to her and her kids. Soma Oats sells at Tower Grove Farmers Markets on Saturday mornings and Tuesday evenings. Follow it on Instagram for updates and more information, including how to place bulk and special orders throughout the year. And for our next article in Feast Magazine, The Royale's Heather McGee is shaking up the St. Louis cocktail scene. The Royale is the quintessential neighborhood bar, cranked up to 11 with an incredible bar program, churning out some of the city's most finely crafted cocktails. Heather McGee, the genius behind the drinks, recently won the top prize at the Central West End annual cocktail party competition. We sat down with Heather to learn more about her background, winning first place, her approach to cocktails, and more. Congratulations on the win! Tell us all about the cocktail you made. The cocktail I made was called Theater Snacks. I had tried the supplied bourbon, and it had a lot of warmer notes to it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to toast some macadamia nuts and fat wash that with some brown butter. After I did that, it was too strong. I overshot it, and it ended up smelling exactly like popcorn and tasting like popcorn. I had to pivot a little bit. I thought, okay, so I got popcorn. I need my cherry cola. We had service berries that we'd just harvested from out on the patio, so I muddled those with an Excel cola reduction and some bitters. It was pretty great. And then I used the discarded butter left over from the fat wash to make shortbread cookies. What's your origin story? How did you get into mixology and cocktails? I grew up in Southeast Missouri, but I've lived in St. Louis on and off for 15 years or so, and have been back for 6. When I came back, I started working with people in the hospitality at the Bellwether and Polite Society. I was a server there, but they have an excellent cocktail program, so I got to observe them. Prior, I was mostly a soda gun bartender. Working at Bellwether and Polite Society, I got to see this elevated level of cocktailing. I left there after 3 years and was actually at Snow for the duration of their time, and then I went to Cafe Piazza. That was my first time playing around with doing more craft cocktails in a professional setting. I came to the Royale last summer, where the whole courtyard vibe is really inspiring. I came in while they were getting ready to harvest grapes. I was like, wow, what magical world have I wandered into? What makes the cocktail program at the Royale special? We're kind of a high-volume bar. I feel like a lot of our efforts go into the back end to make technical cocktails that are easy to whip up. We put the thought into the back end with fat washing spirits, for example. We do a lot of batching of our mixes. I mean, no bartender wants to pick up 5 different things to make the cocktail. And I think what we're succeeding at is pumping out these elevated cocktails at a quick rate. What are your 3 favorite cocktails on the menu currently? I would say the What's Up Doc, the Bramble Patch Sour, and the Citral Dell. The What's Up Doc is actually one of my favorite first failures. It uses our house-made aquavit, and we all love it so much that we wanted to incorporate it into a cocktail for the spring. I wanted to do a twist on a Bloody Mary with carrot juice. And then the Bramble Patch Sour is just delicious. It's a switchgrass rye whiskey mixed with their Bottled in Bond bourbon. And then we brown some butter and essentially make a less sweet blackberry pie filling. One of our reps brought in this whiskey from Starlight, which was a blackberry-infused whiskey. I tried it and I was like, oh, that's delicious, but it's too sweet. I think I can do that better. Citradel was inspired by the flavors of a longtime favorite at the Royale, the Pollinator. But we have a lot of gin drinks on our menu, so we decided to do a twist on a Pisco Sour with that same flavor profile. It's a little citrusy and a little sweet. It's built with house-made lemongrass simple syrup, lime juice, Vinos de Oro Pisco, and foaming bitters. It's then garnished with house-made lavender bitters and lavender. It's named after the active chemical compound in lemongrass, citral, mashed up with the Citadel of Rick's from Rick and Morty. Where do you like to draw inspiration for your cocktails? My mom was a Laura Ingalls Wilder kind of person. We made pineapple soda every year. A lot of an expanded view on how you can use the plants around you. When I got to the Royale, I started to draw on that experience from being younger and that curiosity. Natasha's gin room has always been a huge inspiration for me. I love gin, and the things that they've done there are phenomenal. We have a lot of really great bars in St. Louis. We're very lucky. The Royale is located at 3132 South Kings Highway Boulevard in Tower Grove South, St. Louis. And for our next article in Feast Magazine, Brick and Bramble becomes a community staple in Edwardsville, Illinois. Edwardsville has garnered increasing attention over the years, enticing St. Louisans to cross the river for its ever-growing food scene. Now, the city is home to another locally owned eatery that may help up its culinary profile even more, Brick and Bramble. The concept comes from Laura and Ryan High, who founded popular gastropub Global Brew Tap House, also located in Edwardsville, Illinois. After the success of Global Brew, the pair franchised 5 additional locations from O'Fallon, Illinois to West Des Moines, Iowa. With Brick and Bramble, the duo aims to pair an upscale experience with a globally inspired menu. The Global Brew House is craft beer, 50 beers on tap, kind of a sports bar type atmosphere, and so then we wanted to complement it with something that was more cocktail oriented with nice wines and a shareable menu, Ryan High says. The restaurant serves lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch, along with a happy hour, Monday through Thursday from 3 to 6 p.m. Small plates range from ahi tuna with sweet Thai chili slaw to short rib ravioli tossed with mushroom, bacon, and boursin cream sauce. One of Brick and Bramble's signature offerings are the large spreads, complete meals designed to serve 2 to 4 people. The Bramble spread includes a 16-ounce New York strip, rack of lamb, mini wedge salad with ranch dressing, Hasselback potatoes, Brussels sprouts, roasted garlic, chimichurri, and truffle butter. It's just an awesome offering. It's one of those things that when it comes out of the kitchen, heads definitely turn, High says. The Sunday brunch menu is also a standout. Guests can't get enough of the lobster eggs benedict or the brie and blackberry omelet. The filthy iced chai, frangelico, almond Baileys, and chai has strong potential to be your new boozy brunch go-to. On the cocktail side, you'll find classic drinks with a twist, like blueberry cosmos and rosemary martinis. One of the most popular drinks recently has been the Applejack Margarita, with tequila, Cointreau, lime, apple cider, agave, and cinnamon. Brick and Bramble's food and beverage director, Jake Coons, plans to rotate the drink menu regularly. It's the most fun as a bartender to get behind the bar and get creative with the tools you have, Coons says. Through Global Brew, the Highs have a strong relationship with Buffalo Trace Bourbon, so Brick and Bramble also boasts an extensive spirits list. When you visit Brick and Bramble, you'll find several spaces that can fit whatever you're in the mood for that evening. Take a seat at the bar for evening drinks. Cozy in on low seats and couches, or grab a group and share a large table. In warmer weather, journey outside and set up on the extensive patio. Ryan and Laura say they're proud to have set down roots in Edwardsville and be part of the local community. There's a ton of independent, locally owned eateries around town that just really put Edwardsville on the map, and we're excited to be a part of that group, Hai says. He appreciates the close-knit nature of the restaurateurs and business owners in town. If anybody ever needs something, everyone knows, someone's calling, everyone has each other's back. Brick and Bramble is located at 2323 Plum Street in Edwardsville, Illinois. And for our next article in Feast Magazine, Umami Seasons Hot Pot cooks up Taiwanese-style hot pot in the Del Mar Loop. At Umami Seasons Hot Pot, visitors will find 1-meter planks and volcano-shaped trays topped with thinly shaved cuts of premium beef, prepared for cooking in yin-yang-shaped hot pots filled with bubbling, herb-infused broths. In Taiwan, we care about plating and the way food is presented, says owner Poi Yi Lu, who is a native of Taipei. The focus is, of course, on the freshness of ingredients, but also on making sure everything is visually pleasant. Lu's aesthetics-driven approach to the new Del Mar Loop concept, which opened in April, extends from the menu to the modern dining room. The 1,000-square-foot space previously housed businesses, including Snow Factory, and underwent a complete renovation. The 60-seat restaurant features calming green highlights, recessed lighting, and custom-made heat-resistant tables, each outfitted with its own induction burner. Lu installed 2 new air conditioning units to keep his clientele as comfortable as possible. "It should be an alluring atmosphere, very zen," he says. "When people come in, they feel comfortable just being inside." Lu moved to the United States in 2019 to study psychology in New York. Shortly thereafter, he switched his career focus to the aviation industry, subsequently working as a pilot and in aviation management. St. Louis University's aviation program brought him to the Midwest, where he started a tradition of cooking hot pot with friends. "Hot pot is quite tricky to get just right, and I started wondering why there wasn't a place in St. Louis that offers it, when it's always so thriving and popular on both coasts," he says. "People always ask where the hot pot is, and I really wanted to share this wonderful cuisine from my country with them." With his girlfriend, Anastasia, Lu came up with the name Umami Seasons to highlight the concept's seasonal menus, which feature rotating broth options. He also cites his family as an inspiration for his first hospitality venture. "My parents always brought me to different kinds of restaurants in Taiwan. People call it the paradise of food," he says. "My uncle also has teppanyaki restaurants in Taiwan, in China, and I grew up being really observant of that." Lu worked with sushi chef Joey Cheng, who has decades of experience in the industry, to develop his menu. Guests build their own hot pots by choosing from around 8 different types of broth options and a variety of proteins, vegetables, and more. The most popular broths right now are Japanese sukiyaki and Imperial Golden Chicken Broth, Lu says. "My personal favorite is nutritious herbal broth cooked with mushrooms and Chinese ingredients, including goji berries. It's really good for your guts and metabolism and is completely gluten-free and vegetarian." In addition to choice cuts of beef, including the ribeye Volcano Delight, bento-style Eye of Round, and 1-meter meat lover's platter, Umami Seasons also offers pork belly, chicken breast, and a wide selection of seafood options, such as shrimp, scallops, and fish balls. A variety of vegetables and starches are also available. A dipping sauce bar enables guests to build their own layered accoutrements, complete with simple recipes for those needing a bit of guidance. Lou's favorite combination is ponzu sauce, oyster sauce, green onions, a big spoon of garlic, and cilantro. To drink, choose from soft drinks, including Taiwanese sodas and Korean banana juice. In the future, Lou hopes to bring more dining concepts to the St. Louis area, including a ramen-centric eatery. For now, he's focusing on getting his first solo endeavor off the ground. I'm excited to be in the restaurant, developing the menu and listening to customers' input. I'm going full speed, and there are still a lot of ideas and adjustments to be made, he says. We're hoping to offer the best customer experience, as well as quality food. Umami Seasons Hot Pot is open Monday through Thursday from 4:30 to 9 p.m., Friday from 4:30 to 10 p.m., and Saturday through Sunday from noon to 10 p.m. Umami Seasons Hot Pot is located at 6602 Delmar Boulevard in St. Louis. And for our next article in Feast Magazine, Matt and Amy Heron will open Patisserie 29 in Edwardsville this fall. Matt and Amy Heron are at it again. The duo, who currently own and run 1929 Pizza and Wine in Wood River, Illinois, has announced plans to expand into Edwardsville with a new patisserie concept. Patisserie 29 is set to open in late summer 2024, with more information to come as the Herons solidify plans. While we are still finalizing details, we are thrilled to share that we are in the process of securing a lease and aim to open our new patisserie before fall, Amy said in a release. Once completed, the duo plans to relocate 1929 Pizza and Wine to the new location to share the space. Patisserie 29 will operate during the day, and 1929 Pizza and Wine will open nightly in the same space. Edwardsville has long been a food destination for the region, and with the recent departure of 222 Artisan Bakery on Main Street, which Matt founded two decades prior, there has been a groundswell of support from the community for a dedicated bakery to return to the area. The shop's menu will center around refined, upscale pastries and will also have an espresso-based coffee program. Both Matt and Amy have extensive restaurant experience and have worked and owned restaurants in and around the St. Louis and Edwardsville areas. Known for his dedication to artisanal baking techniques and quality ingredients, Matt's return to Edwardsville marks a significant moment for food enthusiasts and community members alike. More information as we learn it. And for our next article in Feast Magazine, Milk and Hummus launches new chickpea-based canned latte line. St. Louis farmers market enthusiasts and local shoppers alike are probably already familiar with Milk and Hummus, the sustainable brand known for its plastic-free packaging and, more importantly, its flavorful rotation of fresh hummus. Now, the brand is expanding into the coffee market, using the same key ingredient from its popular snack food for canned lattes. The plan to incorporate coffee into Milk and Hummus has existed since the brand's inception in 2020. Founder John Cowan has always thought of chickpeas as a superfood. Healthy, protein-packed, and easier on the environment to grow, harvest, and manipulate. With so many milk alternatives on the market, it seemed like a no-brainer to try the legume as a base for a coffee beverage. We wanted to showcase the chickpea in an alternative presentation, and a beverage just seemed like a good outlet because chickpeas as a raw material have a really neutral profile, Cowan says. They have a lot of good environmental aspects to them. By leveraging chickpeas' nutritional benefits and environmental advantages, it was Cowan's goal from the beginning to shake up the beverage industry by utilizing a mostly uncommon ingredient for coffee creatively and sustainably. Although coming up with the idea was easy, turning it into a reality was a different story. Cowan experienced nearly 4 years of trial and error before his vision for chickpea coffee truly materialized. he recalls an instance last year that almost put a stop to the entire project. We had an unexpected catastrophe. We were making this 800-gallon batch that would be our pre-production trial, and everything up to that point had been great, he explains. Our 1 and 3-gallon batches were excellent, but when we did the 800-gallon batch, it all separated. There was nothing we could do with it. What originally presented itself as a major setback ended up working out in milk and honey's favor. Chickpeas contain natural emulsifiers and stabilizers, and removing ingredients like sunflower lectin and stabilizing gums produced a smoother beverage in large batches, leading to a cleaner label with fewer additives, a goal of Cowan's all along. Eventually, the recipe was perfected and ready to hit the market. Aside from chickpeas, the beverage's minimal ingredient list includes certified fair trade coffee and 75 milligrams of natural caffeine. Sustainability and great flavor aside, Cowan's goal is to create a product that delivers health and convenience to coffee lovers. Completely shelf-stable, but better cold or over ice, the drink is designed with efficacy in mind. We wanted to have something that would be a functional beverage that people could have as part of their daily routine, Cowan said. Something for the on-the-go folks. Milk and hummus is starting with a vanilla flavor for its canned lattes. A chocolate version is currently in production and expected to hit the market soon. Latte cans are trickling into stores like City Greens and Local Harvest, but online ordering is available too. In addition to Milk and Hummus's new drink creations, customers can still expect an excellent summer lineup of hummus varieties from the brand, with permanent staples like garlic and roasted beet, amongst weekly selections of rotating, seasonal flavors. Each week, customers can expect something wildly different, Cowan says. We've made a lot of connections with area farmers. We're sort of on the lookout for what's being harvested and combining that into something unique and flavorful. Follow Milk and Hummus on Instagram for more information and updates on products, or visit their website at milkandhummus.com. And for our last article in Feast Magazine before we move over to Sauce Magazine, meet Tony White, aka Tony Tomato, owner of Tony's Family Farms. Tony White, often recognized as Tony Tomato, provides thousands of pounds of produce to local restaurants like Sugarfire Smokehouse and Olive and Oak. A lot of the things I do are focused on providing alternative choices to commercial growers to my chefs, White says. Chefs are creative, and the more ingredients you can allow them to work with, the greater things they can create. I love walking into a restaurant with a box of fresh vegetables grown on my farm from seeds sourced in Italy and seeing a light go off in a chef's head as they talk about how they will serve them. You don't have to be a chef to order White's seasonal produce. Tony Tomato has a home delivery option. White also helps other urban farmers find the support they need to succeed and is a champion for those experiencing food insecurity. How did you become Tony Tomato? When I started farming, the person I was with at the time said, "You know, if we can't eat all this produce, why don't you take it across the street and sell it?" Across the street was Marcella's Mia Sorella. Co-owner Steve Komorek said, "I will buy every tomato you pick at the peak of perfection. I use that as fuel. I showed up on a Thursday night with two of my kids, Lauren and Theron, along with 300 pounds of heirloom tomatoes." Cafe Napoli co-owner Andy Piatoso was dining next door and came over to see what was going on, and there was a bidding war over our tomatoes. Steve bought all the tomatoes that night, and I realized I had hit a farm-to-table niche. Today, we serve all four Napoli restaurants. As far as the name goes, Olive and Oak sous chef Noel Jaquel started calling me Tony Tomato, and it stuck. Tell us about your collaborative work with nonprofits and other organizations. I provided 3,000 pounds of free, fresh produce to Operation Food Search last year. Additionally, when OFS comes out to the farm, they pick 800 to 1,000 pounds as part of their gleaning programs. This is the first year I got involved with their gleaning program, but I have donated and brought things to them for years. They also have Tomato Explosion that happens every July. I offer a discount to all the restaurants making tomato-inspired dishes as a part of that program. In September, I'll be a part of OPS's Feast for Change fundraiser. OFS really works on ending food insecurities for our region's children. What's your vision going forward? You will soon see our new van rolling around town as we expand into selling refrigerated items. I will continue to help educate urban farmers and historically underserved growers on the importance of establishing an early relationship with the USDA county offices and its many divisions so that they can participate in programs to help them grow more produce to feed our region. I hold an appointment from the White House and the U.S. Department of Agriculture on the Missouri USDA Farm Service Agency State Committee. There are only 5 farmers appointed to the committee. It was a surprising appointment that has really opened my eyes. There is an incredible amount of support from the USDA for farmers, but they need to reach out and be a part of it. Over the next 5 years, I'll receive $200,000 from the government to expand my business, which will create more food. I find a lot of our farmers don't want to expose themselves to the additional scrutiny. There are lots of urban gardens doing well and making money, but there are so many opportunities to grow with assistance from the government. I'll be focusing on advancing the message to meet and invite USDA staff to your farm. And now we'll hop on over to Sauce Magazine and start off with a news item. Shake Shack is opening a location in Sunset Hills. The restaurant will be the 7th in the region for St. Louis native Danny Meyer's chain. Shake Shack is planning to open a new St. Louis area location at Sunset Hills Plaza. The South County restaurant would be the 7th Shake Shack location in the St. Louis metro area. According to reporting by St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Shake Shack will move into a 3,500 square foot space that was previously partially occupied by Fuddruckers. Founded by St. Louis-born chef and restaurateur Danny Meyer, the chain already has 5 locations in operation in the region, in the Central West End, Ladue, DePere, Chesterfield, and at the Enterprise Center. A 6th location is scheduled to open soon at Lambert International Airport. Timelines for both the locations have not been made public. At the time of publishing, Shake Shack has not responded to a request from Sauce for comment. We'll update this article if requests for comments are returned. And for our next article in Sauce Magazine, 7 Great French Fries at St. Louis Restaurants, plus Delightful Dipping Sauces to Pair. Friday, July 12th was National French Fry Day, but let's be real, the sauce team never needs an excuse to order fries. At nearly every restaurant, no matter how upscale, fries are mandatory for us. We just need to know what they're like, especially if a good dip is included. Here's a list of some of our current favorites. Planter's House Fries at Planter's House. Although they've always offered a full menu, we go to this classy Lafayette Square joint for the cocktails, famously some of the best St. Louis has to offer. A round of drinks demands salty snacks, and the Planter's House fries never let us down. Choose your seasoning from a rotating lineup of flavors that right now include salt and pepper, dill, our usual fave, cacio e pepe, our current fave, or hot fries. Both house-made ketchup and aioli come with, but our hot take is that you just can't beat Heinz, so please stop trying. We like to double up on that and the aioli, which is completely irresistible. Planter's House is located at 1000 Mississippi Avenue in St. Louis. Truffle Fries at Herbie's. At a recent meal at this Clayton Business Lunch Spot, the truffle fries completely stole the show. The $19 price tag may seem alarming, but only until the bowl hits your table. A generous mound of perfectly crispy shoestring potatoes are generously seasoned with salt, herbs, parmesan, and topped with gorgeous, thinly shaved slices of black truffle and even more parm. Ketchup and truffle aioli accompany the feast, and it's ideal to alternate dipping for a sweet-salty combo, followed by rich, truffle-infused umami bombs. Herbie's is located at 8100 Maryland Avenue in Clayton. Yuca Fries and Huancaina at Halea. We're always down to diversify our starches. Yuca fries are the perfect start to any meal at this St. Charles Peruvian Bistro. Their shatteringly crispy exterior gives way to warm, mashed potato-like insides. And, like most dishes at Halea, the sauces are somehow the best part. Your order comes with Huancaina, a creamy Peruvian pepper cheese sauce that rules. But we insist on batting those eyelashes real pretty and begging to also try a side of the aji amarillo and cilantro cream cheese sauces that come with the plantain chips. Actually, just order those too. Halea is located at 323 North Main Street in St. Charles. French fries at Side Project Brewing. Ever since we first laid eyes upon the fries at Side Project Brewing's long-awaited food menu, we haven't been able to shut up about them. Thin, crispy, matchstick-style potatoes are positively smothered by a stunning snowcap of freshly grated Parmesan. So much Parmesan, it's shocking. Lemon aioli comes on the side because we all deserve it. Side Project Brewing is located at 7458 Manchester Road in Maplewood. Tallow fries at Ballyard's Meat and Provisions. When the potatoes are upstaging the burger at a butcher shop, you know there's something special going on. Classically cut fries are fried in beef tallow and served with your choice of gochujang aioli, fermented ketchup, or black garlic aioli, for a snacking experience that tastes deliciously savory and meaty. Ballyard's Meat and Provisions is located at 2733 Sutton Boulevard in Maplewood. Portobello fries at Tim's Chrome Bar. Potato purists, avert thine eyes. While we still love the crispy double-battered potato fries at the adorably retro Tim's Chrome Bar in South City, the Portobello fries have won our hearts. Long, juicy strips of portobello mushroom are coated in a crunchy, chunky batter, sprinkled with Parmesan, and come with a side of lemon basil aioli. You'll be scooping out every bit of that aioli with your fingers by the end, which tastes like a super creamy pesto meets green goddess dressing. Tim's Chrome Bar is located at 4736 Gravois Avenue in St. Louis. Rip fries at Max Local Eats. Max Local Eats lives up to their name and dials the St. Louis vibes up to 11 by seasoning their super crunchy double battered fries with Old Vienna Red Hot Riblets seasoning. The sweet, salty, spicy balance is perfection. Don't forget the sauce. We can't get enough of their garlic aioli, but sometimes like to go totally nuts and order a side of ripped cheese sauce, house-made with Rolling Lawn's whole milk and seasoned with, you guessed it, even more Red Hot Riblets. Max Local Eats is located at 5656 Oakland Avenue in St. Louis. And for our next article in Sauce Magazine, Steve's Hot Dogs and the Fountain on Del Mar, a first look at the new concepts in St. Louis's Del Mar Maker District. 6 months from now, the neighborhood is going to be unrecognizable, said co-owner Danny Eichenhorst. Steve's Hot Dogs and the Fountain on Del Mar opened Friday, July 12th at 5232 Del Mar Boulevard as part of the Maker's Locale, a new event and dining complex. The new concepts are bringing even more new life to the Delmar Maker District, an up-and-coming development in an oft-overlooked part of St. Louis, about a mile east of the Delmar Loop. The Fountain on Delmar is a spin-off of the Fountain on Locust, which owners Danny and Marcus Eichenhorst purchased in 2021. 2 years later, they created Hustle Hospitality Group, which encompasses both the Fountain and Steve's Hot Dogs. "We couldn't be more grateful for the opportunity to be part of this project," said Danny Eichenhorst. When Doug Auer and Jim McKelvey explained their vision for the Delmar Maker District and invited us to be a part, we were all in. "Seeing this project come to life has been incredible and only made possible by the incredible team they put together to carry out their vision." The new Fountain location is a pared-down version of the original Midtown restaurant and offers a limited menu of baked goods, ice cream dishes, and cocktails, both classics and dessert varieties. The new location adds a robust coffee program. However, the menu does not include lunch or dinner items, such as the salads, sandwiches, and soups available at the Fountain on Locust. Like the Midtown restaurant, the new spot's decor has Art Deco vibes, but in a smaller space that's roughly one-third of the size. There is seating for about 35 guests inside and another 12 on the patio. The offerings at the new Steve's Hot Dogs include the greatest hits available at the South Grand location, with a full menu of hot dogs, burgers, and loaded fries. The main difference is that there will not be a full bar. Instead, guests can purchase canned cocktails, beers, and Mighty Kind cannabis seltzers. The space is slightly bigger than the other location, with 50 seats inside and 16 outside, and the ambiance is lighter and brighter, with skylights, large windows, and a garage door that can be opened when the weather allows. It was designed to somewhat mimic a concert venue and features a full wall covered in a wallpaper made from concert posters of years bygone. The wallpaper is a collection of posters from Garrett Enlow, who put together a book called Mississippi Nights, said co-owner Steve Ewing, who is the frontman for popular St. Louis-based rock band The Urge. They are real flyers from old St. Louis shows. A lot of them are Urge shows. There's also a mural on the opposite wall of a giant record, further lending the restaurant concert vibes. Additionally, the new space has an open kitchen concept, so diners will be able to watch their food being made. "The neighbors are incredibly excited and can see the potential," Eichenhorst said. "The area has a lot of soul, but has been overlooked for a long time. This is a really clear example of what can happen when we work around a system that's broken and find amazing people willing to invest time, money, and sweat because they believe in it. 6 months from now, the neighborhood is going to be unrecognizable." Alpha Brewing Co. is also set to open a distillery and tasting room this weekend, though the space was not photo-ready when Sauce was on site Wednesday. A request for comment from the Alpha team was not returned, but we'll update the story if we hear back. A grand opening celebration will be held all day on Saturday, July 13th, with live music and DJs to welcome the new concepts in style. Steve's Hot Dogs is open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. The Fountain on Delmar is open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Both Steve's and the Fountain are closed on Tuesday. And for our next article in Sauce Magazine, eat this: Honey Bee Edibles Cherry Pistachio White Chocolate Bar Infused with THC. The chef-crafted cannabis brand is based in St. Louis. St. Louis's own Honey Bee Edibles sets the bar high for cannabis-infused food. Created by culinary director Dave Owens, who was formerly the head chocolatier for Bissinger's, Honey Bee Edibles are so good you can't even tell. They're distillate-infused, i.e., no lingering solvent flavor, unlike many products on the market. It's high-quality ingredients with a culinary execution, Owens previously told Sauce. Our most recent foray into the honeybee realm was the Cherry Pistachio White Chocolate Bar, a divine take on a popular gelato flavor. Honeybee utilizes European chocolate bases, which has no trace of the waxy American chocolate we're used to on this side of the pond. The white chocolate is infused with aromatic tart cherries and topped with a smattering of slow-roasted pistachios for a delightfully luxurious cannabis experience. The full bar contains 100 milligrams of THC and is divided into 10 milligram squares, each scored to be easily split in half for precise dosing. It easily melts in your mouth with just the right amount of crunch from the nuts. We recommend letting the chocolate melt almost completely, but reserving just a little of the creaminess to chomp down with the pistachios. Honeybee is the house brand for proper cannabis dispensaries, but can also be found at many other dispensaries in the area. And for our next article in Sauce Magazine, Harry Potter pop-up enchants at public schoolhouse in Cottleville in July. The event is for adults only, aside from two family dates. Accio Cocktail. Who says you have to wait until Halloween to immerse yourself in the wizarding world of Harry Potter? Public Schoolhouse at 5546 Chestnut Street in Cottleville is hosting a series of two-hour Harry Potter events throughout July called the Pop-Up That Shall Not Be Named. The venue has been transformed into a wizarding wonderland, showcasing various scenes from the movies and books, with the walls, ceilings, and patio adorned with witchy decor. A new specialty food menu features plenty of Potter-themed offerings, including pumpkin pasties, beef Wellington parcels, and treacle tart. On the beverage side, you can sip cocktails such as the Gilly Smash Water with 1220 Spirits Encrypted Vodka, Elderflower Liqueur, Thyme Simple Syrup, Cucumber, Lime, and Sparkling Mineral Water, or the Mythical Margarita, which features a black salt rim. There are also a few mocktails, including a riff on butterbeer they're calling the NA Beer That Shall Not Be Named. The series launched last week and continues for the following dates, July 17th to 20th and July 24th to 27th. Guests must be 21 and older to attend, aside from the family days on July 21st and 28th, when all ages are welcome. Tickets are available online. And for our next article in Sauce Magazine, four frozen cocktails to help beat the St. Louis heat. Hot summer days call for icy cold drinks. The dog days of St. Louis summer are undeniably here. It's only Monday and we're already planning our next happy hour. Reach for one of these chilly treats next time the heat advisory strikes. Don't call me Shirley, at Platypus. The cocktails rotate frequently, sometimes daily, at this hotspot in the Grove, but thankfully the frozen machines move at a slightly more leisurely pace. The most recent boozy slushy du jour is a take on a dirty Shirley with vodka, pomegranate, acai, and grapefruit. Platypus is located at 4501 Manchester Avenue in the Grove. Frozen guava margarita at Yellow Belly. Luckily for us, one of St. Louis's finest cocktail bars knows their way around a frozen machine. Yellow Belly keeps a rotating roster, and our current favorite is the guava margarita with reposado and blanco tequilas, stunningly pink guava, hibiscus, and lime. Yellow Belly is located at 4659 Lindell Boulevard in St. Louis. Orange Dreamsicle at Narwhal's Crafted. The entirety of Narwhal's menu has us in a chokehold all season long, but for maximum summer nostalgia, we reach for the Orange Dreamsicle. Spiced rum, whipped cream vodka, triple sec, and house-made orange sherbet, topped with vodka-infused whipped cream, makes for the perfect grown-up treat. jungle juice at Tropical Liqueurs. Nothing is as essential to a Missouri college experience as Tropical Liqueurs. With locations in Columbia and Springfield, in addition to the Grove Outpost, those whopping 44-ounce styrofoam cups have signaled the start of many iconic nights out. Our go-to is the jungle juice, with 190-proof grain alcohol. Yeah, they're not messing around. Mango puree, Mai Tai mix, pineapple juice, and coconut. Pro tip, add a beer floater for $1. The fizzy lager topper mellows out the intense juicy sweetness and softens the icy texture. Tropical Liqueurs is located at 4104 Manchester Avenue in the Grove. And for our next article in Sauce Magazine, caviar's cachet is on the rise. Caviar is more accessible than ever, and depending on what variety you buy, it's also more affordable. Diners are curious, especially those who have never tried it, and restaurants are responding by putting caviar on their menus in applications that range from the traditional to the creative. The term caviar refers to the roe, or fish eggs, from any one of several species of sturgeon. White sturgeon caviar comes from white sturgeon. Ocetra caviar comes from Ocetra sturgeon, and so on. Different caviars can vary in everything from price point to color and flavor profile. Ocetra, for example, which can be found on several menus in St. Louis, combines a nutty quality with a rich, buttery texture. "I think more people are interested," said Nick Bogner, chef owner of Sato and Indo. "Delicacies like sea urchin, nothing else tastes like that. Caviar, same thing. When people start to have it in unique ways, that bite won't taste like anything else. It's special. We are lucky that people are curious about what we do. There is a value when diners know more, and with social media and food TV and food media, you see caviar more often, and people are curious." At Sato, Bogner offers a Gunkan Nigiri on the fish market menu. It's a seaweed cup with rice, toro tartare, and Ocetra caviar. The toro, or fatty tuna, is chopped up and carries a velvety, rich texture. It's also unseasoned, and that's where the Ocetra comes in. The one that we're using, it's golden Ocetra. It's really high quality. It's not cheap, Bogner said. He explained that the Ocetra caviar is the perfect foil for the tuna. It's a big salt bomb in a unique way, and the tartare is plain. It's seasoned by the caviar. It has an over-the-top richness and the nori and vinegar rice on the bottom. It's almost like a match made in heaven, Bogner said. At Ben Peremba's The Benevolent King in Maplewood, chef and general manager Elliot Harris uses Peremba's private label caviar on several menu items. Sourced from just outside Quincy, Illinois, the caviar comes from wild hackleback sturgeon. It's got a light brininess, and the caviar is creamy and has a simple taste. Not strong, not overpowering, Peremba said. Harris uses Peremba's caviar on The King, from the maki section of the Benevolent King's recently reimagined and Japanese-inspired menu. Here, the caviar is served in a sushi roll with lobster, cucumber, avocado, torched Hokkaido scallop, and yuzu truffle aioli. It's also seen atop raw oysters with ponzu, and in a more stripped-down presentation. 2 ounces of hackleback roe are served with a rice crisp, which lends a neutral crunch to accentuate the caviar's true flavor. Meanwhile, Peacemaker Lobster and Crab Co.'s dedicated caviar menu offers caviar in a variety of forms. Deviled eggs with caviar, caviar with a shot of vodka and Johnny Cakes, or the Caviar Service, which offers a 1/2 ounce of caviar with prosciutto, shallot, egg, capers, creme fraiche, and Johnny Cakes. Peacemaker's baseline caviar is white sturgeon, but optional upgrades give customers the chance to compare and contrast different varieties. The best way to do this with their caviar sampler, which offers 7 grams each of the 3 different varieties. The selection currently includes white sturgeon, Ocetra from North Carolina, and a Belgian Ocetra that's new to the menu. The sampler is served with egg, caviar, creme fraiche, shallot, capers, and Johnny cakes. John Messbarger, executive chef at Peacemaker, is another fan of Ocetra caviar, and especially its golden variety. It's almost a copperish color, and the eggs are creamier and individualistic and bigger, Messbarger said. People are curious and love learning about it. Messbarger said Peacemaker's happy hour option of a $5 deviled egg topped with caviar is popular with customers, and they're not the only restaurant using deviled eggs as a delivery mechanism. Bistro La Florizon serves deviled eggs with golden Kaluga caviar. Here, smoked creme fraiche adds a little nuance to the filling, combined with cooked egg yolks, lemon juice, and vinegar. The caviar applies the final flourish. It's a good price point. It's golden and has a nutty, hazelnut, briny flavor. Not too salty, really nice, and balanced and buttery, and works with the egg, said Aaron Martinez, Take Root Hospitality partner and culinary director. It's not cheap, but not breaking the bank either. The salinity, brininess, and complexity that caviar can bring is exactly right for cutting through the richness of things like Toro, eggs, or even dips. At none of the above, the onion dip with potato chips comes with the option of a caviar-enhanced upgrade, with the caviar lending extra flavor and texture to each scoop. At 360 Westport, adding an ounce of Ocetra caviar and creme fraiche is an option for their cheddar and chive drop biscuits, a luxe way to upgrade a humble dish. Whether you're trying caviar in creative formats or traditional presentations like Blood and Sands Caviar Service for Two, which comes with blinis, cured egg yolk, egg whites, and creme fraiche, caviar is no longer the preserve of the elite. It used to be this luxe thing that was out of reach, and it was just for rich people. But people are interested in it because it's more approachable. It's just really good, said Messbarger. And for our last article in Sauce Magazine, we have a drink this. The Lucky Accomplices bar manager, Corey Moser, is thinking outside the box. And if you love a savory cocktail, the Martini Scorsese has your name on it. While the Fox Park restaurant's kitchen uses fermented tomato water as a base for broths, Moser uses it as the starting point for this savory cocktail, which has a zippy, salsa-tinged taste. Moser combines the tomato water with Roku gin, dry and nutty manzanilla sherry, a dash of salty MSG, and red pepper pickle brine. The final ingredient is an olive oil washed vodka that Moser makes in-house. The vodka has a viscous texture and heft, and when shaken, it develops a foam that helps to deliver the drink's aromatic flavors. The finishing touch is a pickled tomato garnish. It's a mashup of a clarified Bloody Mary and the saltiest dirty martini you've ever had. The Lucky Accomplice is located at 2501 South Jefferson Avenue in St. Louis.